everyone, and welcome to the 22nd episode of the Untitled Gadget Podcast. We've had a few busy weeks, but we finally managed to get back together. All three of us are back on the podcast, and it has been interesting to say the least. Dhruv managed to cut his hand open. Akshay did something to his thighs that I still don't understand, and I don't have a beard anymore.
It seems like we've been damaging ourselves some way or the other because of our own mistakes. Harish, I'm counting your beard shaving as a mistake because I really like that look on you, and you look a little weird. You look a little weird right now.
Well, I think it's all about getting used to the changes. So the beardless Harish.
Yeah,
but
I guess.
I mean, I miss the old Harish.
Yeah, I feel like 5 kilos lighter or something without it. It just feels weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. The band is back together for this episode, man. All three of us are back. I mean, I missed one episode. You missed one episode because of a few reasons.
Yeah.
And now we're finally back together. So it's like a refreshing change for me, at least, you know, like after 2 weeks, the three of us, like we literally chatted for an hour before recording this podcast. So
yeah.
It just says everything.
Yeah. We've been getting a lot of that feedback on social as well. Like everybody's been like, when's the band getting back together? So.
If you're listening, Shlok, yeah, we are back together. So,
oh my god,
I can enjoy this episode.
Right. Let's get started with talking about this week. I wasn't paying attention because I had the week off and I was just not connected to what was going on. But clearly, there was a lot of interest around phone launches. And let's kick things off with the Vivo X50.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys make of the phone? It's now available in India for 50,000. The camera is the differentiator here. Dhruv, let's start off with you. What do you think?
I think the design is absolutely fantastic. So I posted some pictures on Twitter. And other than one person who says that it's ugly, which, well, sure, I mean, looks are subjective. I don't think it's ugly at all. What I really like is how slim it is, but in a good way. It's ergonomic. It the hand feel is really, really good. It's like one of the best phones I've held in recent times. I love the gradient color that they have going on, that subtle finish. The camera module, not even getting into the actual camera bits itself, like the way that they've designed it. You know, it just all fits together really well. And I mean, that extends to the screen as well. It's just a downright gorgeous phone.
So I am not reviewing this phone. I haven't even seen it in person. My colleague is reviewing it. But from what I have seen from Dhruv's pictures and from actually everyone who has posted about that phone, it looks absolutely phenomenal. It looks very different from whatever we've seen this year. I can just imagine how it feels in the hand. And you know, I never expected this from Vivo. Vivo usually plays it quite safe with their phones. And the X50 looks like something, you know, I would consider buying. Just because purely based on the looks. Of course, I haven't used the camera or anything, so I can't comment on that. But from what I have seen online, it's quite impressive, man. I mean, the periscope camera is quite interesting. Not periscope, sorry.
The gimbal
camera is quite interesting. And that's something even Samsung tried to do with the S20. It's not really there, and I wonder, I don't know how it is. So Dhruv has used it, maybe he can tell us more about it.
Yeah, it's actually legit. So it's got a software update last night, so I haven't actually tested out the camera after that. There's two parts to it. The stabilization is ridiculously good, so it's not a three-way stabilization gimbal. It's got OIS.
Yeah, three-way axis.
Yeah, it's not a three-axis gimbal like, say, like a DJI Osmo. I think it just does two axes, but that makes a huge difference. So I just, you know, had the phone outside the car, like with my hand out the car, taking a quick video, because like that's literally like the worst possible recording situation I can think of right now. I'm not going out running right now. But the footage was really, really smooth, very stable. Stable is the right term. There are some glitches with recording. It seems to be dropping frames, even at 4K 30fps, which is weird because the 765 should be more than powerful enough to, I mean, the ISP on that is more than good enough to enable all of that.
Right.
So I think it's a software optimization thing. I will be testing it out again now since I've got an update after that. Image quality is good. It has some interesting traits. It is doing some, untoward post-processing. Seems to be boosting up the brightness a little too much. It's a very social media friendly image.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the most accurate. But I can see where they're coming from on this, and even with that processing, it's really not a bad look.
Yeah, I feel bad for not being able to use this one with the situation around the globe, what it is now. I wasn't okay with Vivo sending out the unit because everything's been held up in customs. But yeah, sounds like they've made a lot of progress this year in terms of the cameras. I used the Next series last year and I really like the design on that as well, particularly with the all-screen front. So yeah, looks like Vivo is doing interesting things. But do you guys think the X50 will sell at that 50,000 segment in India?
No chance.
Okay,
so maybe in the offline market.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the interesting bit. Vivo's primary market in India is, for the most part, the offline segment, where they're huge. And I don't see this doing all that well online. But once you look and once you see the phone, and that's a market segment that doesn't necessarily care about Snapdragon 8, 765, 865, whatever. You know, for them, it's just another number. The operating system is fluid. The camera is great. The design is amazing. If you go just by the fact that, you know, somebody can go to a store and actually touch it, try it out, and then make a decision, I actually think it has a fighting chance. But that said, it is a little too expensive for what it is.
Yeah, it's a steep price for what Vivo phones are known for. Of course, most people will not look at what a gimbal camera means and the premium design, because of course Indians are spoiled for choice because everything literally launches here. But I really hope this phone does well, because it will just encourage Vivo to make more phones like the X50, and hopefully it will do well in the offline market. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, because I think this year is the first time in India we're seeing brands actually push towards this high-end segment, with Xiaomi with the Mi 10 and Vivo also rolling out the X50A. I like this push. I think that it was inevitable considering how prices have been trending upwards anyway. I'm excited to see more choice in that category, because until now there has only been Samsung and Apple. So I'm glad that we get more options.
What form of fast charging does this phone have?
It has 30 watt charging.
Okay.
So just to be sure, like the X50, and I mean, I'm not sure on this. The X50 and the X50 Pro, they're the same phones other than the chipset?
Yes. And I think there are minor changes with the cameras, with the auxiliary sensors. But otherwise, yeah, it's basically the same.
And it has the gimbal camera as well?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, then again, like, that phone is also 35, which is, again, a steep price for a Snapdragon 730.
Yeah, but Vivo has never been about offering the best specs, right? It has always positioned itself as like the camera thing. So
yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'd be okay with the 765 at like a 40k plus price point, like knowing all that it can do. And right. I mean, it's enough for me. I'm not the most extreme mobile gamer or anything. But like, a Snapdragon 730, I don't know if that's a very good deal at all. I mean, leave aside the value quotient of it. It really doesn't seem all that powerful for the kind of money that you're paying.
Yeah, of the two, the Pro variant definitely seems like the better choice, and one that's more future-proof.
Yeah.
But we can talk about, in a larger scale, what BBK Electronics are doing, because It's interesting to see that Vivo has come out with a premium phone. We have OnePlus Nord coming soon. We have Realme killing it with this.
I got phones. A better idea. So next week, I think we're all on the same page that it's all going to be about the Nord. We would have a lot of thoughts on that with the launch on Tuesday. The week after that, how about, you know, maybe or soon after, let's have a special on the BBK bit, because I think that's a much longer topic to be discussed.
Yeah.
And yeah, like 5 to 10 minutes is not going to cut it, because like we're talking about Oppo, Vivo, OnePlus, Realme, and IQ. That's five brands.
I think that's a fair idea.
Also fitting in somewhere there. I don't know what the scene is with them, but yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you give 10 minutes to each brand, that's 50 minutes right there.
I'm sorry. I missed what you said, Harish.
Coolpad was also BBK, no?
Was it?
No.
No. Coolpad was its own independent thing.
No, it wasn't.
Huh. For some reason, I assumed it was.
Yeah.
No, anyway. They're the cool kids.
I guess, yeah, I think that works. When
yeah, we definitely need to talk about that in more detail, because what they've done this year is very different to their usual strategy from the last 3-4 years. They've pushed for more diversification from each of their sub-brands. And they've also tried to distance themselves from their brands, with all of these brands publicly saying for the first time that they're not affiliated to BBK. So that was an interesting change in policy.
Yet there is so much homogeneity across
at least
a few product portfolios.
Yeah. So yeah, that's an interesting,
it's interesting times
that we can have around the Nord. But for now, we can talk a little bit about another BBK brand and a device that debuted a few weeks ago, the Find X2 Pro. I know, Akshay, you got the sexy Lamborghini variant. You want to walk us through that one?
Yeah, so I literally set up the phone yesterday, because as I think all three of us, we have a huge backlog of reviews, right?
Yeah.
So I finally got down to it. I really like the phone. But it's actually very much rooted to what we literally just discussed, the fact that brands are, you know, integrating together in terms of design, in terms of what the overall phone feels like. In fact, when I opened it, I was like, this feels like a OnePlus phone to me. And it kind of does, apart from the camera module design. But I really feel that Oppo has improved the software experience a lot from last year. And it's got a sexy design. Like, it's way better than the McLaren design we had on the OnePlus 7T Pro.
Yeah.
Like, way, way better than that. Although the cover, I did not like as much. It comes with its own TWS earphones. I haven't opened that yet. But yeah, I really like the Find X2 Pro. But then again, when I keep staring at it, and with the 8 Pro right next to me, I'm like, what the hell is happening here? Right?
I mean, has been the case for the last 3-4 years. I got to use all of their international phones from the Oppo stuff, and it was uncanny how similar they were to whatever OnePlus was launching at the time.
I think it's a recurring theme. Last week we discussed about the M2 Pro. They did the same thing, and you know, it's happening here as well. I don't know why people are just can't be themselves, I guess. But at least Oppo has Lamborghini going for themselves, and you know, the fast charging technology stuff. So yeah, I mean, I really like the phone for what it is, but
how expensive is it?
I have no idea. I haven't even looked at the price of the box. I don't even know if it's coming to India, to be honest.
Is it coming to India?
I don't think so. I mean, even if it is, I doubt it won't be as many units, because it looks like a very expensive phone. The box itself is like a piece of art. The experience of unboxing this phone is incredible. Some really high quality materials used here for everything, including the charger.
It's a shame I'm not getting this phone. I like collecting these boxes. Weird.
Yeah, I think mine's supposed to go back. Even then, it was worth opening this box. It was worth it.
Nice. I didn't get the Lamborghini, but I did have a chance to look at the vegan leather one with the Find X2 Pro, and that model is gorgeous.
I wanted that, actually.
Yeah, it has gold accents, and that leather just feels really nice. It's a nice contrast to all the glass back variants that we have now. Yeah. And yeah, I generally like it. Yes, you're right in that the phone itself feels very similar to the 8 Pro, and with ColorOS 7.1, they've also dialed back on the customization, so it feels smoother and cleaner and more modern and more suited to like a global audience. So I like some of the software changes as well. And yeah, the phone itself is fantastic. The camera is particularly great. Dhruv, did you get a chance to use the camera on the Find X2 Pro?
I did not. So I've got the regular Find X2 here, and I've literally just opened the box. I haven't done anything with it yet. because backlogs.
Backlog.
Yeah. I'll get around to it eventually.
It's a very common word in my life. Reviews and games. I don't think backlog is going to stay out of my vocabulary this year.
Dude, don't even get me started on my video game backlog. Like that. I think there's just been so much work that I tried to sneak in like 10 minutes, 15 minutes of gaming. And by the time like that kind of relaxes me, I'm just like falling asleep. So it's just... I'm not as deep into gaming as you, but I really enjoy gaming. It's just that now there's just no time.
I know, man, and it's just it's part of life. And imagine I have to like review some of these games, so my backlog gets pushed even further because I have to get reviews out on time. So
but hey, at least you get to finish those games.
I mean, I get to because I have to because. But then again, you know, sometimes I feel envious of experiencing the game with the fans because that's a whole different experience altogether, right?
True.
Here, I'm playing offline all by myself, can't even talk to anyone. But imagine if I played Ghost of Tsushima with you, you know, we're talking at the same time in the party and experiencing at the same time. I miss that, man. I really do miss that. So there's like caveats to being a reviewer.
Also, like some games you just want to spend time with, right? Like you don't want to rush through them. Like Ghost of Tsushima seems like one of those games. For that matter, like even Red Dead Redemption, I remember like on the PS3, I played that like 3 times. I just love that game so much, you know, just wandering around with the horse, like going out into the country.
I was reviewing that game on my honeymoon because that's when it came out.
That was RDR2.
RDR 2 and iPhone XR. These two
things. I'm talking about the original RDR.
Did you take your Xbox or the PlayStation 2 the Maldives?
Yep. Not the more. Yeah.
What the hell?
I did.
So that's my dedication to work.
Yeah, man. And the iPhone XR as well, because I literally got it a day before I was leaving. I was like, so if you see the iPhone XR review I did, they're from my hotel room. And I won't complain, man. It was right on the ocean. So it was probably the best picture that I've ever taken in my life.
Yeah, but you still, got some great sample photographs over there.
Yeah.
I think like that's something for our listeners as well, that, you know, like there seems to be this opinion or this thought online that reviewing phones and, you know, games or tech generally is just all fun. I mean, I think once you're like 1 or 2 years into it, the fun aspect is really not there anymore. It is a job.
I mean, we're still out of your soul. I disagree there. I still find it a lot of fun to switch to a new phone to see how it works, what it works, all those things. But I agree. Now, particularly these days, with how many phones we're getting, I think, it is just becoming like a deluge.
I think I can explain it better for Harish. Like, you know, when you buy a new phone as a customer, the new experience lasts with you, let's say, a week or two, right? But with us, when we unbox a phone, set up our apps, we have that experience for maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. Oh, this is great. This is nice. I like this. I like that. And the moment your apps are installed, it's work mode on. I think that's the difference.
Like, yeah, you know, like exactly. I'm just as passionate about technology as it was. Like, that's literally why all three of us are in this field. That hasn't gone. It's just that that commonly bandied around word, right? You get to play with phones. It's really not much of play at all. There is no play involved.
No.
It's not playing at all. Yeah. I mean, you get to play games, but that's for the review, not really for enjoyment.
Yeah. There's that book, man. It's called Game Beat. That's a really insightful take into the world of game journalism and reviews and all. That gave me a lot of insights into just what it takes for you guys to write and review and finish these reviews on time, right? Because unlike phones, you guys don't get like 2-3 weeks with the game before it needs to go.
Nope. With Sony exclusives, we get a fair bit of time. Again, depends on the studio. But let's say if you're playing an Assassin's Creed game or let's say a CD Projekt Red game, you sometimes get a 60-hour game 2 days before launch and like, what the hell? How do you expect me to take out six? I mean, you combine the 2 days, it's 48 fucking hours. I'm still missing 12 hours and where the hell am I supposed to sleep? So sometimes you can't hit a bug at all. So it's very, very different. And then even with game reviews, man, like for phones, a lot of things are quantifiable, at least in the performance section of a review. In games, it's the way you experience the game, and then you have to be creative on how to explain the game to a reader without spoiling anything.
Yeah.
Like in phones, there are no spoilers, right? Like there's no spoilers for like, oh, hey, the camera's bad. Right? You know, you can talk about that stuff. But in games, like sometimes you have NDAs and embargoes and...
sometimes, I should do a spoiler-free thing for a phone. The camera? Yeah, you have to find out for yourself.
You have to find out for yourself. Does it have a wide-angle lens?
Unbox it and
buy it and see it for yourself.
Anyway, lose our jobs the next day, man. On the subject of games, so how did you find Ghost of Tsushima? We've read your review. We should definitely link to that. That was a wonderful review. You clearly like the game.
I absolutely fell in love with the game, and just because it's so much fun. It's not an Assassin's Creed game where you have so many things to do and it feels like a job. In fact, it feels like something you want to discover and experience on your own. This game is all about curiosity, and you know, like you explore the world and you find things that are beneficial for you in every way. Everything that happens in this game is meaningful. Every side mission you do, every story mission you do, every point of interest that you discover has a positive impact on your character, the RPG mechanics of this game.
Right.
And the game is set in feudal Japan during the first invasion of the Mongol army, and is very much deeply rooted with Japanese ideology from that time. And you play as a samurai. And I don't know if you guys have looked into samurai history, they're very honorable warriors. They do not resort to, guerrilla warfare or being an assassin, because they believe in following these codes called the Bushido. Bushido codes are basically you treat your enemy with respect, honor, and dignity, and you do not go behind their back and stab them in the back. You fight them head on. So that those values are deeply rooted with this game, like in the sense that it's a big part of the story. And I love the fact that we are playing a game, but we also get educated about an era that not many people around the world know about, unless you're interested in Japan. I mean, I was supposed to visit Japan in August, but and I've researched the shit out of it, which is why I know these things. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't know about what the Bushido codes are or what kind of instruments were used in the soundtrack of the game. But if you are new, if you have no idea about Japanese culture, feudal or modern, this is a great game to experience that culture. And it's just a beautiful game. You can spend hours using the photo mode. Like a friend of mine just started the game yesterday, and he sat in photo mode for 3 hours because the world is so vivid.
Yeah.
And it gives you various options to adjust as well. For example, you can adjust the particle effects, or change the weather, control the number of clouds are there, put filters. It's just incredible. And Dhruv, I know you love the you were like all about the Kurosawa feel in the game. That is so fucking accurate in this game. Of course, I would not recommend using that mode throughout the game, because the world is so vivid that you want to experience those colors. But when you are in a duel and you turn that mode on, it feels like you are in a Kurosawa movie, man.
Yeah, it's epic.
It is spectacular. It is. The music is so finely tuned with that experience. Like, you feel like you're watching a 60s, 70s samurai movie. The soundtrack mixed with the black and white grain effect. I've never seen a game do that before, and I just love it.
Crazy. Yeah, I hear that it's getting great reviews from Japan as well, like, especially about the accuracy. And the representation of the period also, you know, I believe that they're using a very specific dialect, which is not that common anymore, but they've researched the hell out of that.
It's the kanji dialect. It's like Chinese characters that they used back in. It's not used as much today. So I think that's the dialect they're using. And most of the characters, the written Japanese part, everything that's written in Japanese in that game is using those characters as well. And it's highly, highly accurate. I mean, I'm not an expert about Japanese languages, but it sure feels like that.
I feel bad that I don't get to play this game because I don't have a PS4. And it makes no sense to get one now because, well,
You could still buy the game and play it on the PS5 when it comes out.
Yeah, but the wait.
But interesting fact, the game is officially sold out in India. I've never heard that for a game in India to get to be sold out everywhere, including Amazon. That's a big deal.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little funny and strange. I think Sucker Punch maybe did not anticipate the kind of hype that it's built up around this game. I mean, and the game seems to have delivered it as well. But, like, Sucker Punch is a great studio, but then Infamous was also never really, like, one of those must-have games. Like, it was
a bland game. Like, it was a game...
I really enjoyed the game, for sure. I mean, I've played all of them, but... nobody would say that, like, Infamous is on the same level as, say, something like a God of War or Uncharted. And then now, out of the blue, Ghost of Tsushima is, like, being rated as one of the best PlayStation experiences. That's a crazy journey for the studio as well.
Yeah, I mean, Infamous came out the moment the PS4 launched, a few months after that, and we didn't hear from them for freaking 7 years. So, 6-7 years. And what a comeback by the studio. And it probably is... so popular because I know Harish loves the Assassin's Creed games, and he probably wanted one set in Japan, and Ubisoft never really delivered that. I think this game is filling that void a lot.
There's so much wealth and lore there, right? So yeah, that was one of the key things that I wanted to explore. But okay, I just want that damn PlayStation to release already.
But yeah, man, if you do get the PS5, I highly recommend playing Ghost of Tsushima as your first game. It doesn't feel like a chore that you're doing it like in Assassin's Creed. It doesn't overwhelm you in any way. Everything is entwined together from the open world mechanics to the combat mechanics. Combat mechanics are so addictive. Oh my god. You know, like, it is so, so addictive. I feel like playing it right now because it just is so fluid. The flow is so good. Oh, man, that game is incredible. One of the best games of this generation, for sure.
Nice. Did they mention that it'll get whatever new effects, or it'll take advantage of that hardware with the PlayStation 5?
So, I mean, they have said that. I mean, PS5 has said that when they did the PS5 reveal with Mark Cerny, that most of the games will be supported, the PS4 games, like over 4,000 of them. And I'm guessing this is one of them.
Yeah.
But officially they haven't said anything like that yet, because Sony has not talked about the console in detail, you know. So I think once that happens, we'll know more, I guess.
Cool. All right. Let's segue into something relevant to India. And this week, Jio basically took on Amazon, Google, and just about everyone else.
Apple, everyone, man.
Yeah, it's like Jio is turning into like one of those one brand to rule them all sort of situation here.
Yeah.
Dhruv, do you want to walk us through all the new stuff?
You know what? I'm going to ask Akshay to start off because I have a lot of things to say, and I mean, it's taken me a bit to process everything. But yeah, Akshay, why don't you start off?
Okay. So I have very conflicted thoughts about what Jio has done, right, in the past 2 years. Or maybe, let's just say about this year's annual general meeting. On one hand, I'm actually happy that an Indian company is taking that leap to bring products to the country, to, you know, revolutionize the digital age, as they say. Like, but, you know, they're at least, trying to make an effort. I don't think any other company is doing that. But on the other hand, I get pissed off when they literally lift everything from everyone.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Jio Meet, Jio Chat, Jio TV Plus, what they call. They even call it the Jio TV Plus, like Apple TV Plus. The UI looks the same. So this is the part where I get pissed off that, you know, you really are trying hard to be a leader in technology, consumer technology, and, you know, network systems. But then, with all the money that you have, you really can't even hire a good UI and UX designer. So, you know, very conflicting thoughts over here.
I think what they've done really well is take that playbook that Facebook used over the last 3 years, where if it found any feature from any of its rival services. It just integrated that into one of its platforms, like Stories with Instagram. See how well that took off. So I think they're trying a similar strategy, but with a but at a broader scale, where they're like, okay, we can fill a void with all of these services. We'll just see what's in the market and we'll just clone them and release them as our own alternatives.
And as far as 5G is concerned, I think all three of us have thoughts about that. So let's wait about what they have claimed. But what about all the products they announced all this week? What do you think?
Okay. You know what? Let me
this is gonna be
start
fun.
Off somewhere before that. So there's multiple aspects to this. One, clearly, it's not just them, you know, like transforming into a technology company overnight. There are clearly a lot of partnerships in play for the GeoMart stuff. Like, it's all about integrating WhatsApp into everything. For the Android or low-cost Android product side, they are actually partnering with Google. And if Google's press release is anything to go by, that partnership is not just for the software, but it extends to the hardware as well, which is interesting to say the least. I mean, could this be like an ultra cheap Pixel phone? I don't know, probably not, but really, who knows? And I think what, I mean, it's taken me some time to think this through, but it's really not just a transformation into a tech company. It's about integration of services or making the right investments to push the ecosystem forward. There's a lot of comparisons being made that, you know, like Ambani is the next Elon Musk, which he really is not.
No.
He's just an incredible businessman,
yeah.
which is absolutely true. He's an incredible businessman and
a shrewd businessman too.
A very shrewd businessman. But he's not an Elon Musk because technologically speaking, either these are derivatives, clones, or, you know, the right partnerships to bring the much needed products and services to India. The other product which they launched, the Geo Glass, it looks shitty. It's bulky as fuck. But the thing is that Geo's literally the only one right now who can push this out for like $2,000 and get the kind of traction that everybody else can like not even dream of. Like, it's actually, there's nothing else. There's literally no other company which can achieve that kind of traction that Geo can. I mean, just look at the sheer amount of money that they have. It's incredible. And that's just part of how Geo has been growing, right? Right from the beginning, they've had their other businesses, the oil businesses, everything else going on to support them. And they've been dominating the market through subsidizing everything. And essentially, they've created a monopoly. And it's going to be a monopoly across the board. I mean, of course, we'll never find a proof for this, but it's common knowledge that they've got the government in their pockets. There's no regulatory process to stop them from doing literally anything. And it is also essentially now Google's entryway into this same monopoly segment of sorts, where there's like nobody there to stop them from doing anything. So, you know, could this be the return of free basics? I don't know. What happens to net neutrality? It's a much broader thing than what Geo just showed off.
It is. And
a lot of things going on behind the scenes that we don't know about.
Yeah. And one thing that was interesting to me over the last few months was how there's been so much coverage of everyone investing money in Geo platforms. This wasn't anything new. Geo last year clearly mentioned that they wanted to get its net debt. I think last year they had a $20 billion net debt. And they wanted to at least bring it down by half. So that they had this plan in place last year as well. So all of the investments that we're seeing is just to get rid of that. And they've managed to do that. They actually managed to get rid of a huge chunk of their net debt. And they've also at the same time managed to raise their evaluation too. So evaluation rather. So I think it's worked out really well for them. And for what it brings these other partners, you're absolutely right in that Geo owns the government. And I think it is a way for them, of Google, Facebook, and everyone else that has invested in them, to smooth the way with the government when it comes to regulation.
Mm-hmm.
I think every one of those companies that invested in Geo has had some sort of regulatory pushback, right? So I think this investment is like the first one in smoothening those ties or something to that effect. At least that's what I see.
You know how Dhruv says that, you know, Jio probably has the government in their pockets. It may be true, it may not be true. But we do have to point out that everything literally falls in place for this company.
Yeah.
Every single thing. It's kind of uncanny that, you know, whatever the company wants to achieve, it just falls in place for them. In fact, if for the for listeners who are interested, you really should look up how Jio as a telecom provider it came into being. It's quite shady what they did. I mean, it's a whole list of dummy companies doing this whatnot, and that's how Jio was formed, a very very shady way that other telecom providers were not allowed to do. So you really should look it up, that there are a lot of things that are happening behind the scenes that we don't know about. And as Dhruv pointed out, that with Facebook, Google, Microsoft, literally every major tech company investing in Jio. And you know, these companies invest because they have their own vested interests. Please don't forget that.
Yeah.
Net neutrality can be a thing. And the fact that Google announced just a few days before this AGM meeting that they're investing $10 billion into the country to boost the digital economy, half of that is going to Jio. It's really not going to the country. It's going to a private entity.
That's not a coincidence.
Yeah,
it's not a coincidence. It's not the fact that Sundar Pichai recorded two video messages from the same damn location for two separately entirely different events. Something is going on here that nobody knows. And trust me, there are journalists out there who's going to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, all right. So as I was saying, you know, I mean, when you're not paying for our product, you're essentially the product, which is true for Google. And in many ways, it's actually true for Jio as well. Sure, you're paying for it, but the predatory tactics that they've had with pricing, sure, it's been great for pushing connectivity across the country and getting everybody online. But they're literally driving every other telco into the ground. Airtel has, 20,000 crores of losses? These prices are unsustainable. And it only works if Jio has other ways of making money off you. And they are working towards that. The entire suite of apps that they have, you can be sure that they're taking your data from literally everything. And, you know, be it the video services, now the shopping services and everything across the board, it's becoming this huge conglomerate of sorts, which is so much bigger than just the telecom side of things. And yeah, I think Indians in general, like be it for smartphones, be it for services, I think we're all too stuck up on the value quotient of it, where there's no thought to the security and privacy aspect.
Yeah.
But I think a conversation really needs to start around how and why there's a reason why Jio is able to sustain these incredibly low price services.
Yeah, and that's a good point there, because with Jio now trying to be like this ecosystem player, we have to understand that it is trying to emulate Google, but it also has a broader scale than Google, in that it is also a telecom carrier and it has like the biggest telecom network in the world, right? It's now like the largest data carrier anywhere in the world.
Yeah. 380 million subscribers.
Yeah. And there's also the fact that it's now pushing its broadband service as well, just as aggressively. So it's playing on that front. And there's also the oil front, right? I mean, this isn't even Jio's, like, yeah, this is now its primary business, but it also has other divisions where it is the dominant player. So when you combine all of those, it's very scary that Jio now wants to be like this brand that has a lot of apps that are available for free, because I would not want to use those and have my data sent over, because I have no idea. Because there's no audit around what Jio does with data, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is scary. And as you rightly said, there's no conversation around privacy. Any conversation around anything in India is centered around the fact that something is either free or paid, and users automatically gravitate towards that free option. So I think we need to do a better job in telling folks what they stand to gain by paying for a service.
So you know what, I'll add to this from a conversation that I had with someone on Twitter a few weeks or a month or two back. And you're right, the conversation really needs to change. Especially when, I mean, these digital services, be it like YouTube Music, Spotify, whatever, they're so incredibly cheap in India. And, I mean, it's $70 a month. It's, you can't get a proper McDonald's meal for that much.
Yeah.
And yet people are willing to use hacked apps or like something like YouTube Vans to get around ads. It's a little infuriating that even when the service cost is so low, like people are not willing to pay for things. And that is a mindset that needs to change, you know. It's across the board. But, you know, coming back to the topic of Jio, I mean, with 380 million subscribers, telecom subscribers, and that's just growing, they're estimating to sell another like 1 billion unit phones in the next 3 years. It's basically paving the way for Google to be the default for literally everything now. And obviously deeper integration, like this goes well beyond search. But the even more frightening one is Facebook.
Yeah.
Now, Facebook being all pervasive is something I really do not want.
Yeah, it's one shady company, man.
Exactly. And I mean, who's going to stop them? Like, who's going to stop these guys in India?
Yeah, that's the problem. And mindset is the word I was looking for there. I got distracted by looking at these RGB lights and I was like mesmerized by them. So I forgot what I was talking about there. But yes, we're not conditioned in India to pay for things, right? Particularly when it comes to digital content. And that's why piracy is so rife all over the country. We just don't have that mindset to pay for a service when we know that there are workarounds or ways to obtain it for free. Windows being a good example of that.
You know, but the other big news from the meeting or the event was that Reliance claims they have completely like homegrown made 5G solutions for their networks that can roll out next year. And they also claim that it can be exported to other countries.
I'll scratch off the logo of the Nest Hub here and add my own label and say, hey, this is a homegrown smart speaker that I built myself and I'll sell it to others.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I find that, and until they actually talk more about it, I find that hard to believe. Because building out 5G equipment, that's a multi-year strategy and there has been nothing about it so far.
Yeah, it's a multi-decade strategy.
Yeah, even that. I mean, could they have done it? Sure. But it's would possible. We have heard of it by now? Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if people know this. I was, let's say, at a brand's headquarters last year. And they also make, 4G network solutions and 5G as well. And they were talking about 5G, their 5G solutions. And they clearly, like very vividly said that, I remember this vividly, that the largest provider in India uses our network towers. I'm not going to say the brand's name because even they were very shy to take Jio's name, but we all knew it was Jio. So, you know, it just shows that you can claim whatever the hell you want, but we get to know the real story no matter what.
I claim to be the most knowledgeable man online.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Sure.
I mean, what I can see happening is that they've licensed the tech from Huawei.
Right.
And built the hardware equipment here. That is something that is still believable. But that's not the same as a fully homegrown solution. I mean, heck, like, it's the same thing, right? Like, what they're doing with the dongles, where it proudly says made in India, designed in India, but,
yeah, but
like, you turn
can
it around.
You find the same one on AliExpress. You
pull off the battery cover, it says made in Vietnam.
There you go. I'll be honest, I did not look into the homegrown claims at all with this one because, well, I didn't want to sit around and look at regulatory stuff, but I will do so next week. But what I know of the industry, the manufacturing industry right now in India, there's just no way. At best, we are good at assembling a few things.
I think that's what they're doing. I think they might be assembling it and just calling it completely made in India.
Mm-hmm.
Like how Every smartphone company does in India. Similarly, Jio is also doing the same.
The whole make in India thing should have like an asterisk next to it and say at the bottom, assembled in India.
Terms and conditions like apply.
Like a massive asterisk bigger than the actual make in India logo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see that Reliance have these claims. And they're saying 5G can roll out next year if the spectrum allows it. But then again,
no.
Come on, man.
Please, let's not do that again. I don't even... It's laughably bad. 5G is not coming to India next year. No.
And it's definitely not made in India completely. That's for sure.
No, it's not.
No.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you look at the Geo Glass, I keep saying Google Glass. I mean, look at the product engineering on that. It's certainly not the most cutting edge thing out there.
No, here's what I will say. If Jio can't even make an original product with Jio Chat and Jio fucking Meet and Jio fucking TV Plus, do not fucking expect them to make their own 5G solutions, because they literally can't even make their own UI and UX, right?
But that's what I'm saying.
For their services.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? We're good at software. India is good for making really good software solutions, right? That's like the whole IT industry's bread and butter. And if Jio isn't able to execute on the software front, think of something original there. You really think they're going to build a robust platform around hardware, and that too something as complex as a new generation of cellular connectivity? No.
No chance.
No.
No chance, no chance.
And I mean, all said and done, like, even the Jio Meet is not entirely a homegrown solution. They've licensed, what's this company called? Vidya, I think. They've licensed the tech from them.
Oh, okay.
Are they called cloud solutions or literally
everything? I know, so they do like white label video conferencing solutions.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
The only thing that was interesting there was that it was built around WebRTC. That just makes it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the conversation going around. Like, I'll have to read more about it. But yeah, I mean, the general consensus is, and it's more or less confirmed, because the admin page for it is the same as what Vidya uses.
Of course. It's all a facade. It's Jio's facade. We're just living in it.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Outside Twitter and a few techies, who really gives a shit, right?
No one... I'll give you an interesting story, right? My building is fed up with ACT FiberNet because I think everyone else is facing a lot of issues with connectivity. And now they're trialing GeoFiber.
Okay.
And everybody is ready to make the switch because they looked at the tariffs and Geo, I think, gives more data. And they're all willing to just switch out en masse. So they're just not even considering the fact that there may be issues with privacy and something, and that's around something to do with broadband, right? Where literally it connects to all of your devices. That's your gateway to the internet. But no, that has not entered the conversation here. No, so yeah, that goes to show a little about just how little we value privacy in the country and how free we are with sharing our data.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think
on that
that's all
sobering
I had on
part.
Geo.
Harish, since you were missing last week and we were talking about weird things happening with weird products, we never got your thoughts on Poco M2 Pro.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I missed on that one. Look, I really like the phone for one reason and one reason only. No ads. That's about it.
And that's it.
One of the pitches that we got with that was that it would be available. They highlighted the fact that all other budget phones are not available because of shortages. But even this one isn't. I recommended it to a friend and they're like, yeah, we can't get a hold of the phone. But otherwise, I mean...
That's not even surprising though.
Yeah, and Poco this year, I think the brand was revived as an ad-free alternative to Redmi. And I think that was the brief that they got, because... what they're doing now is nothing close to what they did with the F1. I mean, the F1 was built around revolutionizing that whole value flagship category. Mm. And they managed to do that. The F1 had its faults, and it was based on an existing Xiaomi product. But it was different enough that it made all the nerds excited, and it had a few things going for it. But the 2020 stuff, it's just a rebrand. And but let's not take away from that. It is a rebrand, and they're positioning software as being a differentiator. So if you want that Redmi design and hardware and the value that it offers, but do not want ads, there is an alternative, and that is Poco. That's basically
yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, prima facie, there's no... I mean, I understand. I think at least now I'm really beginning to understand what they're trying to do with the Poco series. And I'm talking specifically to India. Specific to the M2 Pro, I mean, if they'd flipped out the design, I don't think anybody would have had an issue with the phone. This is pretty much as good as you get in this segment anyway.
Right.
It's a better Redmi Note 9 Pro at the same price. There's 33-watt charging and this an ad-free experience. There's little else that you can really realistically even do at this price point. And, you know, and then there's the X2, which is like, what, another couple thousands more. And there too, you have an upsell, which is the 120Hz screen. Again, something that nothing else provides in the segment. So I think they're looking at these, you know, segmented tiers where they'll do something which is, I wouldn't say extraordinary, but like not something that anybody else is doing. Do an ad-free experience and try to establish themselves. But I think at least at this point, it's pretty much clear that we're not going to get anything as revolutionary as the Poco F1 again.
No, we are not going to. I think they're also pushing for diversification, but also consolidate their resources so that they don't put in as much money to design each phone. Because let's be fair, to design a phone from the ground up, it costs several, dozens of millions of dollars. Just the launch event itself is like $2 million, as we've learned from the Nord docuseries thingy. So yeah, a lot of resources go into making a phone. So yeah, I think it's a smart move from them. In that, well, there is now an alternative to Redmi if you don't like ads. But I don't know if it'll catch on.
I think it plays really well, and this is, you know, a continuation of the conversation that we guys had online a while back, which was that, you know, I mean, in the offline segment, the Redmi series is still going to sell. Realme is also selling. I think the offline segment, I won't say that they're uninformed, but it's the audience which doesn't necessarily care so much. That's the audience that's particularly focused on the value aspect of things. And then there's the online audience, which might be a little more informed. And hey, now you have the option of getting a Poco, which is the Redmi without the ads, which is what you all wanted anyway, right? Like you wanted the Redmi Note, whatever, without ads. So here you go. You have an option now.
That's it.
And that's basically it. Well, so how long will, till like Realme does that?
That's exactly what I would suggest people who are looking for a budget phone. Just get this. Because, you know, ads are always bad and you don't want naked women popping up on your fucking phone every now and then.
Talking about naked women, the wife and I were going through all these 90s and 80s movies, and we were seeing Not Another Teen Movie yesterday. And my God, I cannot believe how much nudity was in that movie. And I didn't realize it. I saw it when I was a teenager when it came out back in early 2000. And it's just crazy how casual the nudity is in that movie. We've also been streaming.
Yeah, I mean, the 80s and 90s were a wild time. Like, and I don't think we really realized it as kids.
Yeah, that was the puzzling part. Because even my wife saw it at the time. And she's like, yeah, I don't remember seeing this much nudity.
I mean, if you ask any middle-aged man about Sharon Stone, they'll know exactly what we're talking about. Because that's how iconic those movies were. I think it was a very... a very openly sexual generation, the 80s and the 90s, and it reflected in their movies as well. Even if you look at some cartoons from that time, they're quite dark. They have quite dark meanings behind them. So, of course, I think it seems like we're going back to the Stone Age with each decade, but yeah, I, 80s is by far my favorite decade of all time because it's very deeply rooted with games, with music, with, you know, just everything, you know, like, I just love
it. Cultural shift.
Huge cultural shift. Gadgets, VCRs, everything, man. The like, Walkman. It was a great time. Blade Runner, everything, man. That 80s is just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with you, and I wasn't even born then. But, Yeah.
I mean, I was born 88, not like I knew what was happening. It's just that everything came to India kid. Quite late. So it was like we were living in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah. So well, I mean, I get to poke fun at you guys. You're old. I'm a 90s kid.
Oh, fuck off, man. With age comes wisdom, as you've realized this week while fixing the... What were you fixing when you busted your hand?
My 3DS XL.
There you go.
Fine.
So, are you guys streaming, playing, or reading anything interesting?
Akshay's got the interesting stuff.
I mean, of course, I've played Ghost of Tsushima, but I am really looking forward to Paper Mario. I think Dhruv has already started since he has a digital game. I'm waiting for a physical copy of the game. We've started watching Dark season 4? 3? 3? 4? What's the 3?
3.
We've started watching that and confused the shit out of us completely. So it really doesn't help to watch a show and then you watch another 1 hour YouTube video explaining what that episode was all about, right? It's all over the place right now and we're trying to understand that. I think we're going to binge watch it now because if we keep taking breaks, we'll never understand what's happening in the show.
So Netflix has this website, like it's like a fan, they have this, I don't know, I'll send you a link for the name.
Cool.
Yeah. And then they explain all the character biographies in it and give you a timeline of things in case you're getting confused because between the first two seasons, I completely lost track.
Okay, do help me with that. And now I've just been following a lot of YouTube stuff. Nothing tech. My YouTube is not full of tech. It's mostly gaming and Japan because I was planning to go to Japan. So I've been just following this guy called Only in Japan, John Dobb. I mean, that's the guy's name, presenter's name, but Only in Japan Go. And he does these live streams in Japan, walking around the streets of Tokyo and everywhere else. And I've been following a lot of that. And then some cooking stuff. I've been cooking quite a bit. And recently I made twice, actually, the pesto creamy pasta and then some Parmesan chicken. So been cooking, to be honest. That's what I've been doing.
Damn, that sounds good.
So what are you doing, Dhruv?
I've been working and as you guys know, last weekend I stabbed my hand with a screwdriver. And it went in pretty deep. Like, maybe I should save the gnarly details from the podcast. Oh, hey, why not? Let's go.
No, you told us the podcast and we couldn't even keep our eyes open. And you're not even showing anything or describing anything. It's quite disgusting.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like a scene from the movie Saw. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. It's also like Mortal Kombat. Like, one of the... When the weapons, like...
Yeah.
Come out of the the body... And there's
fatality.
Yep. And when there's like things coming out with it. Okay.
Let's not disgust people with what happened. They'll never come back.
Hey, it's the human body. It's all good. It's just supposed to be in one piece, not in multiple pieces.
Other than that, some whatever. Wisdom.
What?
No, it was a life lesson, right?
Yeah, so I guess. Now I mean, I've had worse injuries. Like once I went flying 6 feet off my bicycle and kind of cracked my head open in two places.
What?
Got stitches. Yeah. Then once I fell off a bike going like 90 kilometers per hour and hit a speed breaker on my head.
Damn.
Okay then. So...
You're quite adventurous, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got
chased by a bear once.
What?
Daredevil?
Crazy. Yeah. Like insane.
Yeah, I got chased by bears in Romania. I got into a fist fight in Berlin while somebody was trying to steal my passport and I broke the guy's tooth.
Why is this not the thing that you write about? I'd want to see a website where you write about your crazy adventures.
I think it's just like I've tried it a couple of times, but I find that I'm like, for at least my travel stories and stuff, like I speak them out better than I write them. But yeah, anyways, that's a conversation for another day. I've just been working, man. Like it's just been a whole lot of work.
Yeah.
And with the injury, like I've not been able to type that fast and just feeling a little meh. So been working a little slowly this week. Other than that, I played like 10 minutes of Paper Mario. It's hilarious. Like, there's like just so many dad jokes in that game.
That's what I've heard. I can't wait.
But it's hilarious. And that's pretty much it. Like, it's been a pretty like
routine week.
But I think let's not end on anything random. We were having a conversation before we started the podcast, and Dhruv was sharing some incredible figures for our podcast. Dhruv, I think we owe it to our listeners, since you know they've been listening to us. Why not let them know how we're doing?
Oh yeah, so it's incredible, and thank you to literally everybody who's tuning in. We've seen a 2x growth, which is fantastic. And so that what that basically means is that there are twice the number of listeners than we had last week. Shout out to Shlok, who seems to be like the most active follower that we have. Thanks for like retweeting everything. I think like half those extra listens are coming in from you. But no, seriously, like, thanks for listening in, everybody. And we'd love more engagement on our social. We're at Untitled Gadget on Twitter. When I get some time, we're going to be on Instagram. Facebook is... Fuck Facebook.
Oh, shit. We should get the site rolling. We bought the domain, right? I'll get something set up okay. on that domain.
Cool. Yeah, like... Or, you know, we'll figure that out. Like, I'm kind of free this weekend. So we'll have a site up as well soon. Maybe even do a forum. Who knows? Who really knows? But yeah, if you're listening to it on, what's it called? Apple Podcasts, not iTunes. It's no longer iTunes. It's Apple Podcasts. Do leave us a review. It helps a lot in visibility. I mean, actually, like any platform that you're using, if it's got a thumbs up button, hit that thumbs up button.
Or a star rating or something.
Yeah, just like leave whatever rating you can, because...
It really does.
Yeah, it does help. It does help a lot. And I mean, we also get more stats, so we know like what kind of topics that you guys like. And our social channels are great for that, because while we do cover everything from the week, we'd love to go more in depth on things that you guys want to know about. So absolutely, you know, we love engagement.
In fact, speaking of engagement, Dhruv didn't mention that he told us off before we started recording that you guys have been listening to the episode all through the recording. It's not like you're leaving the episode and never coming back, apart from one episode, which happens to be my spoiler cast episode with Rishi. So obviously, since it has spoilers, but apparently, I mean, that's what Dhruv told us, and I think even I do the same.
Yeah, let me get you some stats on the entire episode. Yeah, let me get you some stats on that. So like our average podcast length, like, yeah, we've always tried to stick to 1 hour. We never do that. So we've gone all the way up to like 1 hour, 30, 40 minutes. But on an average, we have a 1 hour, 20 minute episode. And you guys are listening for at least like 1 hour, 15 minutes of that. Wow. Like,
that's a big deal.
Wait, that means they missed out on all of this stuff now.
No, they have not.
Fine. I mean, okay, that's fun. Thanks everyone for listening in. Let us know any suggestions on things that you want us to cover more, like Dhruv said. And yeah, share the love.
Yay.
Yeah, okay. Sweet. Yeah, and that's all we have for episode 22 of the Untitled Gadget Podcast. We'll be back next week with, well, what looks like
a lot more
gadget news. Yeah, next week is going to be fun. With that, stay safe out there. See you guys next week. Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Stay safe. Take care.